listening to Eureka on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Entrepreneurs. Charles Burchell and Brad Taylor met while learning the craft of fine watchmaking in a small Swiss city. Both being from Toronto, in a class of only four students, they quickly bonded while learning how to design and create high-quality watches in a place steeped in the history of the industry. After a few years each further honing their craft for other companies, Charles and Brad are back in Toronto and have launched their own brand, Burchell and Taylor. They've taken up residence in an old factory in the Queen West area where they opened their workshop for anyone curious to learn about their designs and the precision of watchmaking. Here's the story of Burchell and Taylor, first from Charles.
Growing up, I was always at the hardware store. My neighbor and I, we used to make things every weekend, box cars, that sort of thing. And I fell out of that for a little while, and I was in university, sort of uninspired by what I was doing. And out of a whim, I had watchmaking as a hobby for a while, and I was taking things apart, not knowing really how to put it back together. But I decided to take a leap of faith and drop out and apply to this small watchmaking school in Switzerland. And I went there for a two-week bench test, and in the end, they wanted to have me, and I was thrilled and sort of never looked back.
So when I got into watchmaking, I was about 16, 17. I've always taken everything apart in my life. My parents would get me into a helicopter when I was 8, and I'd take it apart within 10 minutes. I've always just been very mechanically inclined. For me, watchmaking is a really amazing mix of art, engineering, and using your hands to create. So it's been a perfect fit for me. I've been living and breathing it since I was quite young.
Yeah, the town where we studied was a small town called Lilloc. It's on the French border. And you could just sort of imagine the Swiss watch industry runs like a spine along the French border. And the town we were in basically had a population of about 11,000, which in Switzerland is considered a city for some reason. But they had about 22 watch brands. So we were sort of immersed in the culture, in the industry. And we sort of never had a break from it. We were at the workshop all hours, studying, because it really takes nothing but repetition to learn the craft, to learn the trade. And afterward, we went home and we passed by, you know, Tissot, Patek, and Jacques Hédreau on our way home every day.
Our school had only four students in our class. And I remember meeting him on the first day. We have mutual friends here. You know, Toronto's a big city, but it's so small in that aspect. And we knew some of the same people, and we actually lived together and went to school there. So we spent probably on average every day around 16 hours together, and we haven't managed to kill each other yet. So it's
it was a sign that we could work together and we get along really well.
Yeah.
Well, I started working for an independent servicing company in Toronto here, and we did servicing on behalf of the brand. So if it doesn't make sense for a brand to have their own service center in a place, there's not that much of a demand, they'll have an authorized service center. So I did authorized service for Patek Philippe, Hublot, and countless other brands. So I got a lot of really good experience working with all kinds of really high-end watches and more entry-level watches that, you know, have a lot of different, the construction's much different. Every watch, just like a car, needs to be taken apart and cleaned, inspected, and that can be between 150 to 300, in the most intense cases, up to 400, 500 parts just in this tiny little watch. They need to be inspected to make sure they operate properly and there aren't any issues, and re-oiled and adjusted. So it's really valuable to have that insight, especially when we do our own work. Charles and I come from different backgrounds, and that helps a lot. So when it comes to servicing, I have a really good idea of how that should be handled. The appropriate way, if someone around the world needs their watch service, they don't have to send it all the way back to Canada, for example, which is, unfortunately, a lot of brands work like that when it comes to Switzerland.
I was on a different sort of end of the industry, working for a small independent brand called R.W. Smith, headed by watchmaker Roger Smith, who was the apprentice of a pretty prolific watchmaker in the UK. So that's on the Isle of Man. So I lived went right from a small town in Switzerland to the Isle of Man for a couple of years. And I learned a lot. It was indispensable. It's a position where you get to really work with your hands. These watches cost an average price of around $250,000. So yeah, it took about a year to produce two to three watches. And I learned a lot of what you learn in education, which is more handwork, more working with machines to produce parts. So I like to think that I had a great education in working as an independent, and I could bring some of that knowledge to our brand as well. I left the Isle of Man in the summer of 2016. I was sort of applying for different positions. I wanted to be back home in Toronto. And I went back to continue my degree for a little bit while I made applications and efforts to get back into watchmaking. Basically, I got in touch back. Well, Brad and I were always in touch, but we sort of had a little project going on after Brad was done work and I was done school. We would think about making our own watch together, come up with ideas, and sort of just brainstorm, just sort of like it was a fantasy in a way back then. And then slowly it sort of took shape and Brad took the plunge. The thing was, it wasn't the easiest thing to bring watchmaking to Toronto, but it's where we're from, it's where we're really proud to be from here, and we wanted to do it here. We wouldn't dream of doing it in Switzerland. And we found that it's really struck a chord with people having something made here, a watch made here, that you wouldn't get the same emotive sort of feeling if it was produced in Switzerland. So, and we found it struck a chord with expats in a way. People living all over the world who are from Canada, who are very proud to be from Canada, and once think of something on their wrist that reflects, in a way, home. When we started the project, we went to Switzerland, and we rented a little space in our old workshop and stayed in the town where we learned watchmaking. And we met and we sought out to work with the best suppliers in the industry, basically. And the difficulty is we're relatively small fries in the industry, of course, so it took some convincing to get them to work with us, as their minimum order quantities are quite large for us. But we were able to pull it off, and we're happy that we work with the best, and we're in the position that we are in.
It took around 9 months to design the first prototype, like what we really thought would be ideal. As things arrive from our partners, maybe the hands are a little bit, you know, in person they look a bit more bold and you have to adjust things and get more tooling made. I think finally it took around a year to make like what we considered the reference one. And we've been taking pre-orders, which is how we kind of got the whole thing really rolling. So we would do our best to network and get ourselves in front of people that might be able to afford our watch, that could believe in us, basically, and would say, yeah, I like what it looks like on paper, and I'll take the chance. I'll pre-order a watch. And so we've been really lucky to have a lot of support like that.
Our watch is what we believe is a classical dress watch, the ideal classical dress watch. It's a 38-millimeter case, hand-fired in a grand faux enamel dial, which means the dials are hand-fired in an oven individually by an artisan, and a classical hand-polished micro-rotor movement with a see-through case back. And we think that's what reflects our ideals as watchmakers and what we love in watches. And it may not be for everyone. It's very minimalist design, but I think it's going to catch the eye of quite a few people.
I think we have a pretty good idea of where we want to go as a company. We never want to become a mass production thing. Like, I think the most appealing part about what we're doing is the small quantity that we're limited to. Like, it's a quality limitation. If we never want to exchange quality for production, in a sense. Yeah. So if we hire a few watchmakers and we end up making 100 pieces a year, that would be, I imagine.
Ceiling, I'd imagine, for how much you want to produce. And moving forward, our sort of ambition is as watchmakers first, and essentially that's all we are in this business, is we want to bring more to Toronto. We want to produce more of the watch over time, and knowing us, we'll do it before it makes the best business sense, because that's what drives us.
Thank you very much to Charles Birchall and Brad Taylor for sharing the story of Birchall and Taylor. Thank you as well to Will Kitchens in our Toronto Bureau for conducting this interview. The show was edited by Kieran Matthew Banerjee. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.